Hello everyone, Julian King in the chair. Goodness me. Where are we? What time of the day is it? So I covered mornings yesterday where Matty White did the breakfast shift. Now Matty White was meant to do mornings, but instead he did breakfast this morning. Jimmy did mornings instead of doing breakfast. And now I'm on afternoons. Are we up to speed? Are we up to speed? It is great to have your company wherever you're tuning in this afternoon. SEN 1170 Sydney, 1620 on the Gold Coast and via the SEN app. We'd love you to join in the program. My open line number 1300 01 1170 and the text line 0457 736 736. Good show ahead today. We've got some usual Tuesday regulars. Darcy McDonald from Fox Sports will be here. It'll probably be about 10 minutes of Matt Burton chat, dare I say, if she has anything to do with it. At all, Darcy. We're going to meet our maker, Aussie basketball star Thon Maker will be along as well. Staffy, I can see his beautiful mug in the screen at the moment. I spoke to him yesterday. A bit more to chat about from SENZ. And we're going to check in with Manly's Dylan Walker as well. They've got a big game coming up Thursday night at Four Pines Park where they take on the Melbourne Storm. But they could be down a couple of troops, the Storm. Harry Grant is officially out. Cam Munster unlikely to play, and Felice Kaufusi missing as well. Coach K is with us for his sports update. We'll run through sounds of the game in the final hour of the program. Look, now that it's been two sleeps since the Blues comprehensive win in Origin 2, have you given much more thought to it? Or in the words of the great Ray Ravitz, Warren, have you had a chance to properly post-mortemise the match? I don't know if you caught this today in the Herald. I'll read for you what Roy Masters said. This is his breakdown. Tell me what you think. And he says, Blues coach Frederick Fittler obviously knows a sin bin in Origin is near fatal. It results in immediate try and has a compounding effect, zapping the energy of the opposition. So Fittler adopted a simple but effective second half game plan. Deprive the Maroons of possession via a high completion rate. Send error-inviting spiral bombs Queensland's way on the last tackle. Change the angle of attack to exhaust them. And leave tries to the cat-quick Panthers in the team, such as Nathan Cleary and Jerome Luai. If the six Ps once meant perfect preparation prevents piss-poor performance, Fittler came up with nine of his own in Perth, pace of the defensive line, position on the field, possession, pilfer, and physical play leading to points, especially over Panthers in the back line. Have you got all that? And then he goes on to say, Roy Masters, about Queensland's young wingers are too inexperienced at this level to defend with fewer numbers. They had a lot of loose carries, the Maroons, as you know. We had a few high bombs, a lot of hang time, and they just struggled. They're out on their feet. I mean, the Blues had 65% possession in that second half, and they struggled to get out of their 20-metre zone. So in terms of how they responded to the Kaufusi sin binning, which was a rightful sin binning, well, they did it perfectly. But having said that, it's 1-1. They've won nothing yet, New South Wales. And that's what they'll be telling themselves as they go to the decider at Suncorp Stadium, Brisbane, July 13. And Roy says, the greatest weapon in that Queensland arsenal is their state-of-the-art chip on the shoulder, their entrenched need to avenge New South Wales' insults, relish adversity, and triumph over injustice. You know, I love reading that kind of stuff. His mind is still sharp, Roy Masters. He's Melbourne-based now. And a crying shame he never coached my Dragons, or Tommy's Magpies, for that matter, to a premiership. And Dragons got robbed in 1985. Long memories. But look, getting back to the post-mortem, now that you've had your chance to sleep on it, and this question's been doing the rounds and will continue to do the rounds in the coming weeks, how do you get Jack Whiten back on the side? He can't play in the right. He's a left-sided player. You're not dropping Burton. Logically, you'd say, all right, put him on the bench in for Talakai. Can you make that work? Seibold said this morning on the morning show, yeah, probably. And you'd be loath to change a winning side. Can you find a place for Latrell? Initially, I thought, no, as much as I'd like to. And it's an embarrassment of riches for Freddie. There's been a bit of murmur about, could you play Latrell on the right in place of Steve Crichton? So if he comes out and has a blinder, Latrell Mitchell, it'd be pretty hard to leave him out. And Paul Crawley said in the telly today, well, Mal Meninga, the Kangaroos coach, had made the shock call he'd play White and ahead of Mitchell if he was picking the team for the Origin decider. Is it that much of a shock call, though? And Mal's just based his opinion on the fact that he wouldn't risk rushing Mitchell straight back into the side after being out so long injured. And I get that. But he is at that level of class, Latrell, that sometimes you bank on people that good. Like if Tommy hadn't played, Tommy Trbojevic, but you know he's that good that sometimes you just find a place for him. You know, it's funny. I was driving in this morning and I was listening to Tony Kemp chatting to Jimmy. And Jimmy sort of asked him, okay, well, Kempy, who's going to be the next Warriors coach? And immediately Kempy said, oh, Billy Slater. He's played in the best system there at Melbourne finals year after year, a great thinker. He's worked with the best footy manager in the business in Frank Panisi. And my first thought was, yeah, good on you, Kempy. And then about a minute later, you just start to stew on it a bit and you think, is it as crazy as it sounds? In terms of fit, I mean, look, I don't think it'll happen. The notion of a 10-year contract is laughable. And you say, give him 10 years. Well, that's not going to happen. I, for one, though, and many others, would be really curious to see how Billy would handle being a first-grade coach. I think he'd go okay. Now, Matty Johns reckons the Storm job's there for him if he wants it. One apiece heading into Suncorp Stadium. You know, this is a new experience for Billy Slater. They won game one. It was on a high, people giving him a rap. But now, having 44 put on that Maroons team, and he doesn't really have a lot of people to call upon either, Billy. Well, what does he do? It's a good test for him. Good test for him. Hey, still on league, it is, of course, Team List Tuesday. It reports that Luke Brooks is going to be picked for the Tigers this week. So maybe they're playing a bit of hokey-pokey with Brooksy. 1 foot in, 1 foot out. They're shaking him all about. Michael Chamis reports in the Herald that he's been handed a stay of execution by Brett Camorley. And on top of that, he says Noddy's emerged as the leading contender for the vacant West Tigers head coaching role for next season. Apparently, the club has been impressed by the way Noddy's gone about his job since the sacking of Madge, even though the run of losses have continued. They went all in Serraldo, went so far as to release a statement saying we didn't get him, offered him 5 years. Poor Noddy, though. Poor Noddy, and we love him. He's a member of the SEN family. He's on a hiding to nothing. On a hiding to nothing. Given the Warriors' form, you'd be looking at the draw and thinking, okay, beauty, we're a decent chance at 2 points here. But the poor Tigers draw them in their first home game for over a couple of years in front of a sellout crowd in Auckland. It's going to be a beauty. It's a tough gig. I'm going to tip the Warriors here because they're back at home. But now that I've tipped them, it'll probably result in a win for the Tigers. Oh, but just back to Brooks. Remember before the rep round how all the mail was that he was going to be dropped, and he hasn't. So we're asking the question, was he ever going to be? Maybe he was going to be, but the leak frightened them into picking him again. Maybe the mail was wrong. Either way, if you're a Tigers fan, you just must be really tired of the noise. Noise coming from that club, from quote-unquote sources. Now, we've got a test match starting tomorrow in Sri Lanka. Dan Bredig is reporting that the Aussies, and I heard a bit of Andrew McDonald speak this morning, the Australian coach, they're leaning towards Dougie, John Holland over Matt Kuhneman as Nathan Lyon's spin partner, the first test match at Gore. And basically the reason being is they're looking more for accuracy of finger spin over the wrist spin of Mitch Swepson. Now, Holland toured with Australia as far back as 2009. It didn't have a great time in 2016. He was drafted in late to that Sri Lanka series where we got thumped, the Australians, in place of Socky, Steve O'Keefe. Now, Ashton Agar's not available this time. He's got that side strain. So all of a sudden, he's back on the selection radar, John Holland. And apparently, on Sunday at training, he was pretty conspicuous, John Holland. He was Lyon's initials partner in centre week of practice. Swepson, Kuhneman, the young Victorian Todd Murphy, they were just bowling the nets. But then, Matty Kuhneman and Lyon later formed another tandem before a bit of rain. And we know how good he's been, Johnny Holland, at first-class level, probably the most consistent spin bowler in Shield cricket. Matt Kuhneman bowling pretty well for Queensland last summer, 25 wickets at 31. He's impressed during his recent stint in the limited overs series. The problem is for Johnny Holland is how's his body going to cope? Because he flew into Sri Lanka late from a Victorian winter to play for Australia A before joining the main squad. And he's going to be called upon to bowl a lot of overs. So I hope the fingers are feeling okay. The thing about it is, and I was talking to Socky on Sunday after crunch time, he said, well, John Holland's basically been told that he is now the number two spinner for Victoria behind Todd Murphy, who they rate really highly. So the question here for Andrew McDonald, the Victorian, the new Australian coach, is whether they want to go with a containment spinner or a wristy. And the thing about the lefties, of course, they move the ball away from the right-hander. So it would work well in tandem with Nathan Lyon, the offie. And just one more thing on cricket. As for the possibility of lifting David Warner's leadership ban, of course they should. Absolutely they should. He served his time. I mean, how long do you want to punish this bloke? So, you know, we're happy to have you back in the side and score runs for Australia. You just can't be captain. And we're not even talking about him in a leadership role for Australia. I mean, it goes down to the domestic level. It's ridiculous. He has served his time. If Smith can captain, so too should Warner. 0457 736 736. That is the text line number. A few of them dripping through. Now, just quickly to the championships before I get to a break, because I want to catch up with Dylan Walker on the other side of that. The Nasi Kokkinakis, this is beautiful, set up a bumper round two clash with Novak. He defeated his Polish opponent in straight sets, high rank two. Novak dropped a set in his win over Kwon Soon Woo. He was the only Aussie to win. And Madison Inglis went down as to Sharma. Her match has been suspended at one set apiece against Germany's Tatiana Maria. Matty Purcell went down in five. James Duckworth lost to Andy Murray. Had an underarm serve too, Andy Murray. He's tight with Kyrgios after all. Serena, Iga Swiatek, Kyrgios all in action tonight. Kyrgios up against the Brit Paul Jubb. Oh, just quickly on Novak. The number one seed notched an extraordinary milestone. What about this? He's the first player, man or woman, Novak Djokovic, to record at least 80 singles victories at all four Grand Slams. He's the raging hot favourite. He's the raging hot favourite. You think Rafa, second line of betting, probably Berrettini, but not a lot of grass court form outside of that. And I reckon he'll be trying extra hard here, Novak, because he's basically waved the white flag and said, well, I'm not going to play the US Open, and I won't play the US Open because I'm not vaccinated, and refuses to get vaccinated. So if he's chasing Rafa's 22, he needs to win this because his chances are effectively cut in half when it comes to the Grand Slam calendar. 0457 736 736. That is the text line number. We'll get to Dylan Walker from the Manly Seagulls very, very shortly on the program. Look, I know you're all armchair selectors, and there's currently a debate to be had, as we know, about White and Latrell, and a bit of chatter too about Dane Gagai's spot in that Queensland side. And on top of that, we mentioned the Aussies are deciding who should partner Nathan Lyon as the second spinner heading into the first test in Gore. Well, Matty Kuhneman may get a start. John Holland may get a start. So, with that in mind, today I want your nominations for surprise selections in any sport, left field or surprise selections. So basically players that have been picked in any sports team that made you think, oh, gee, I didn't see that one coming. So let's run with this today. Surprise selections, left field selections in sport. I'll give you one to start with. Ashton Agar, 2013 Ashes. Remember he scored that 98? And the fun fact that I always like to trot out, that he was the first Australian player to be born after Warne's ball of the century. 0457 736 736. Surprise selections, left field selections. Ashton Agar, 2013 Ashes. What about Adam Mogg for Queensland, 2006? Oh, he's a handy winger for Canberra. He's not an origin player. Scored three tries in two games, Moggy. You know what? Just while we're on Origin and surprise selections, do you remember this back in 2003 when they picked Phil Bailey? They got Phil Bailey in the centres. No one saw that coming. $100 cash to give away today. And we've also got a $50 sports voucher coming up later in Sounds of the Game. That open line number 1300-01-1170 and the text line 0457 736 736.